I'd like to bring forth a message about the self-existence of God. If you'd like to turn in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 29, I will be bouncing around just a little bit. And in doing so, if you want to keep up, you can. Hopefully I'll be bringing a blessing to you, and we might get a glimpse of the magnificence of God. I'm going to talk about what is the self-existence of God, who is God, and what does God's Word say about His existence. In Deuteronomy chapter 29 and verse 29, we'll begin there. The secret things belong unto the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong unto us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law. There are some things that are revealed in the Word of God that teach us how to live and how to walk and how to follow God. But there are some mysteries in the Word of God that in this life we will never know, we will never understand in our human body. God may reveal some of that and more of that as we enter over into eternity, but right now, those things are of God. And I've been blessed by the messages that have come forth in the honoring and the praise of God and who He is. And the humbling experience, as Brother Sam talked about, of studying His Word and trying to discover out who He is. It will set you straight and it will set you back way further forward than you think you are. Let's go over to Isaiah chapter 55. Isaiah chapter 55 and in verse 8 says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." So many times I hear people talk about God and they try to bring Him down to the level of a human being. And I tell you here today, He is no human being. And He's much higher than we are. And as the brother talked about, His weakness is greater than our strengths. And His wisdom is greater than our knowledge. It's just terrible that people would think for a moment that the God of the universe, the God that created all of this, is some sort of layman being. He says that His thoughts are above our thoughts as the heavens are above the earth. First of all, I'd like to say that the futile efforts of this man standing here in the pulpit today are probably not going to do justice to the self-existence of God. I will not be able to show you the full magnificence of His existence. But I will try to bring you some information that has been brought to me in the Word of God. The word used by a lot of ministers as I was researching this some is aseity. Aseity. That's A-S-E-I-T-Y. Aseity. And this means existence originating from and having no source other than itself. Existence originating from and having no source other than itself. Does that sound more like God to you than what people are saying He is today?
Amen.
And how they discard Him and how they shove Him aside and make Him of no reverence. And people come to church today and these churches you have out there, these false heresies that are manifesting themselves all over this earth, to come here, fables and tales and stories. They don't come to worship God. They come to hear, how can I feel better when I walk out that door? They need to come in here wanting to be humbled and brought before the throne of a mighty existing God. Amen. How can we explain God and His existence? God caused some things to happen. He is the uncaused first cause. The earth, the moon, the stars were caused by God. The trees, the plants, wildlife were caused and created by God. And we are caused by God. The uncaused first cause. God tells us that He is from everlasting to everlasting. Before anything and after everything.
Amen.
Psalm 90 and verse 2 says, before the mountains were brought forth, or ever Thou hast formed the earth, and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, Thou art God. And people will even come up and they'll be thinking that God came about either by some other situation or some other deity of some sort, or that it's conjured up in our mind. All lies, I tell you. Psalms 93, verse 2. Thy throne is established of old. Thou art from everlasting. Not into everlasting. People might say, well, eternity, you're talking about something that's going to happen way on down the road and last forever. But this says from everlasting.
Right.
Way before we could ever imagine or explain. That's a mouthful. Recently, some of you probably watched some of this, the Ken Ham and Bill Nye, the Science Guy, debate. And of course, there were several questions asked at the end of the session from the audience, and they were asking this Bill Nye a couple of questions and asking, well, when did this start and when did that come about? The Big Bang Theory, if it happened, when would it come about? And almost every answer he gave when he was asked questions in that direction was, well, we don't know exactly when. We're not absolutely sure. We've got some ideas about it, and we're working on that. And that's why I get up every day. That's why I'm a scientist. That's why I try to research these things. And that's what drives me every day. Well, he's driving down the wrong road.
Amen.
What Ken Ham said to him, and what I'm going to try to do to you today, or share with you today, is that Ken Ham responded to him. He said, Bill, there is an answer. It's in a book. It's called the Bible. It tells us when things come about. It tells us how things come about and who created it, who got it started. It's in a book. It's called the Bible. So I'm going to try to use the Bible to explain the existence or self-existence of God.
Amen.
Who is God? Isaiah chapter 43. Isaiah chapter 43, verse 10. Says, ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servant for whom I've chosen, that ye may know and believe me and understand that I am He. Before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me. There's no God formed before Him and no God after Him. He is the only God. That's what He says about Himself. In Genesis chapter 1, I want to make a point here. In chapter 1 and verse 1, it says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Elohim. Elohim. However you prefer to say it. I don't speak Hebrew. But I can read a dictionary, and hopefully if they interpret it right, this is a plural meaning.
Amen.
Showing the multiplicity of our God. But let's go to verse 2. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. So there's a second part. We see the Spirit of God was present and accounted for during the creation that took 6 days. The morning and the evening were the first day. The morning and the evening were the second day. It wasn't thousands of years. Amen. It was 6 days.
Amen.
And it's plain. Read it. John chapter 1. Scripture strongly refuted by heretics. They don't want to believe it. John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God.
Amen.
The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. Verse 14, a little more clarification. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, and the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Who was that? That was Jesus.
Man.
That shows us God in three persons was there at the creation, at the beginning, before it all began, before the universe was developed, before the stars were set in the sky, before the earth was hanged. God was there in three persons.
Man.
I think that's emphatically important to the existence of God. First John. 1 John chapter 5. Hope I'm not using somebody's verse coming up. But I think this is just kind of a summation of what I just said. John, 1 John chapter 5 and verse 7, it says, "For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one."
Amen.
So they were all in existence at this time before anything was created. I would surely reconsider anything that would discount or blemish this record. So we can see that all that we experience, all of the universe, all the things that we can set our eyes upon, there was nothing created in the heavens or the earth that wasn't created by God. Now, what does God say about His existence? And Brother Doug, I don't know when I started. You told me I could have about an hour, is that right? I'll finish when I get done, I reckon. Let's try to stay in that 35 minutes. What does God's Word say about His existence? How do we explain eternity? How do we explain everlasting to everlasting? The Trinity, a triune God. How about how to create a human being? From a conception that grows into a full-grown adult and lives 50, 60, 70, 80, 90, 100 years old. How does it keep going? What keeps the heart pumping? What puts the blood through the system? How do the nerves work? How do they work together? How does the signal from hurting your hand go to your brain and tell you, "Oi, ow, ouch"? Tell me. I don't think that we know. How do we explain the first, second, third heaven? How do we explain the resurrection? How do we explain somebody coming back to life? Pitiful. That's how. Pitiful. Romans chapter 11. Romans chapter 11 and verse 33. And verse 34. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and the knowledge of God. How unsearchable are His judgments, and His ways past finding out. For who hath known the mind of the Lord? Or who hath been His counselor? And Job chapter 38, verse 2. When I get into a situation many times, I've told other people this right here, when I get into something where I start doubting or wondering or contemplating or anything that would kind of detour me from where I need to be mentally, emotionally with the Lord, I go to this scripture right here. Job chapter 38 and verse 2, it says, "Who is this that darkeneth counsel by words without knowledge?" And it puts me right where I need to be, dependent upon Him and not having any of my own ideas. Because my ideas always take me to the wrong place. If I'm not submitting to His will, I'm going down the wrong road.
Right.
It's scary to stand right here and I'm trying to explain to you the self-existence of Almighty God. And to have the fear within me that I could be making a mistake in something that I say of my God. Who am I? Who are we? Who are we, men of God and women of God, to declare the mighty, magnificent, holy God? It should really bring us to where we need to be every day. But we wander around with our minds and our thoughts. Job chapter 41. Job chapter 41, verse 11. Who hath prevented me that I should repay him? Whatsoever is under the whole heaven is mine. Granddaddy West taught me that. He said, I want you to look up that word prevented. And I did. And it means before. Who was before him? Nobody. Nothing. Only He existed. Only God existed. And the whole heaven and everything in it is His. Listen to what He says about Himself directly. He was about to establish one of the most memorable events to ever take place on the face of the planet Earth. He said He would establish that as a memory down through all generations. He was about to get the people of Israel, the Hebrew children, out of Egypt. And as He was about to do this, He was going to send Moses in. And Moses wondered, what would I tell them? What am I going to do? Listen to me, I can hardly talk. How can I go in here and tell these people something? What should I tell them? Who should I tell them is sending me? I mean, you figure you go in to tell a whole nation, they're saying there was what, some 3 million people occurred one time, 1 million people, 2 million people. I don't know how many people. There was probably a lot of people. It'd been a long time. And they appropriated a few times, I'm sure. And they were slaves, and they were probably wondering, you know, where is our God? And he said, well, what am I going to tell them? Who am I going to tell them sent me? And in Exodus chapter 3 and verse 14, and God said to Moses, I am that I am.
Right.
And he said, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you. One meaning of this I am is exist.
Right.
I exist that I exist. I exist because I exist. That's all they needed to know. That's all we need to know. He will reveal the things He wants to reveal to us when the time comes, if it comes. If not, it's not any of our business. And we need to believe that and trust that and walk behind it and keep our mouth shut with our complaining and worrying and telling everybody about anything that we don't know. Making up stuff as we go along. I didn't mean to charge anybody, just I don't know why that came out. So we know that God is the uncaused first cause. John chapter 18. John chapter 18. Verse 4. Jesus, therefore, knowing all things that should come upon him, went forth and said unto them, whom seek ye? They answered him, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus saith unto them, I am he. And Judas also, which betrayed him, stood with them. And as soon as he had said unto them, I am he, they went backward and fell to the ground. Now the thing about it is, it struck them to the ground and they got right back up and came after him. I believe that he didn't reveal himself fully to them. That's why. It wasn't for us to have a situation where the Savior didn't fulfill his mission. It shows us there that Christ submitted and surrendered to the cross.
Right.
He gave them a glimpse and gave us a glimpse of his power.
Man.
And who he was.
Right.
And he gave of himself freely and crucified freely because he loved us with an eternal love.
Amen.
This is the God that I believe in. This is the God that I believe has existed forever and ever and will exist forevermore. There is no other God.
Right?
As Christ was coming into the city, riding upon that donkey, if the people didn't praise him, he was going to rise up, raise up stones and they'd have praised him. And we need to praise him. We need to praise him for what he did. For what he does for us every day. But more than that, we need to praise him for how much he's forgiven us for. And if you're here today and you haven't been forgiven by the one true self-existent God of this universe, you need to be.
Amen.
You need to repent of your sins.
Amen.
And ask for forgiveness.
Amen.
And ask for mercy. People are deceived, following a weak God that says, well, if I'll do this, God will do these things. If I say this, God will do this. You are duped. I'm telling you. We don't move God with our actions and what we tell Him to do. That's not the God I worship. What kind of a God would that be? If we could control our God, what kind of a God? He wouldn't be God, is what He would be. And that's who they're worshiping, is a false God. How does your God exist? Mine exists of himself. He's a self-existing God with singleness of purpose and in complete, utter control.
Amen.
He does not need anything from anyone whatsoever. He is God.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.